Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 56 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, my first ever classmate on the show, Max Malik. How we doing?
Doing great, Jack. Thank you so much for having me on. Super excited for this.
Of course, brother. We got to talk some Penn State hockey, man. You know, the team coming into the year as one of the highest ranked teams. We got all the guys playing well. How about we lead off with a guy who's dominating right now, Charlie Serrato. Let's just talk about him for a second. Actually, you had him on Gloves Off last week, didn't you?
Yeah, we did have him on Gloves Off. Super cool to be able to talk to him in kind of a semi-professional setting. And obviously, as you said, he's been lighting it up. He's currently leading the country in points with 11. He's coming off of a big weekend, had a nice goal in, I believe, the second game, looking really, really strong. And that line of him, JJ Weebush, and Matt DiMarcico has picked up right where it left off from last season. And all three of those guys, Serrato specifically, is having a great season. Obviously, he's coming off of a huge offseason, obviously being drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes in the second round of the NHL draft after being passed on and going undrafted two drafts in a row, finally getting drafted and proving why he's getting drafted as he's lighting it up this year.
And the funny thing is, I think you said 11 points. I think it's 15 points. 11.
It might be 15. It's 15 now. You know what? That sounds right. I'm trying to pull up the stats right now. The NCAA's website is not the most efficient.
It's not,
website
it is not the most planet. Efficient at all.
Yeah, you're right. It's 11 assists. I stand corrected. 15 points.
He's even better than you said, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think he had 11 points going into this past weekend. So he's obviously still lighting it up for him.
How do you think the rest of the season is going to go? I mean, obviously, Big Ten play has not started yet. No rivals so far. But, I mean, it's a pretty good start. I mean, that one loss was kind of rough. But overall, I mean, beating Arizona State, sweeping them, I think it's a pretty good start.
Yeah, like you said, the Arizona State series was a statement series for the Nittany Lions. There was a lot, and I mean a lot, of hype going into that game. You had Gavin McKenna, who is an absolute generational talent. You can compare him to the likes of Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini, and even you can make the stretch of comparing him to Sidney Crosby in terms of the hype he's had and the talent he has. So heading into that series, when you're playing against an Arizona State team, which historically has been a really good college hockey school, and they've got a guy like Colin Potter you're playing against, another NHL prospect, there's a lot of hype going into that game. And Penn State showed up in the sense that they were able to battle back in a lot of those games. That first game against Arizona State, although the score was 6-3, it was a shootout, especially that second game. And Gavin McKenna proved why he is Gavin McKenna, calling games, scoring a game-winning goal from the right circle, one-timer, I believe, and then throwing up that forks down in front of that Arizona State student section. And then heading into a series against Clarkson where they dropped the first game where – I'll say this, they shouldn't have lost that game, but I think a lot of people that don't really know college hockey hear a school like Clarkson, and because they watch so much football.
Hockey is like the only sport where a D3 school for everything else can be D1.
Exactly. And a school like Clarkson is a prime example of that, where people never hear of this school and they think like, oh, if they suck at football, they must suck at everything else. They don't. That is a school that narrowly missed out on the Frozen Four tournament last year. They have two NHL prospects, and they also have a giant defenseman who I believe is 6'8". So it's not by any stretch of the imagination an easy series to win. And Clarkson battled the Nittany Lions in game one, and they came out with a win that they earned, quite frankly. And then Penn State kind of, and even seeing the guys after the game, they were pissed, and they knew that that was a game that they shouldn't have lost. And they came out with a different mentality in that second game and got a dominant win over Clarkson, and a scrappy and most importantly physical win over Clarkson, a guy like Lev Katzen, who despite being 5'7" and probably 170, 180, throwing hands at the end of that game,
getting
the boys fired up and getting the crowd fired up and showing why Penn State is one of the best and most scrappy and should be one of the most feared teams in the country at the end of that game, and getting ejected. And that led to Charlie Serrato getting ejected and a bunch of other guys. It was so much fun to watch. And it really showed the energy that this team has, that not only are they these flashy playmakers that have a lot of hype like Gavin McKenna, but they could also be scrappy. And that translated and carried into the series against LIU. Aiden Fink, who is a guy who has carried over his Hobie Baker. Before I go into the next, you know, before I continue with my point, I'm going to go on a little rant here. Aiden Fink should have won the Hobey Baker, or should have been at least in the top three last year. I get it. Z Boyan was really good. Isaac Howard was really good. Ryan Leonard was really good. But like, Aiden Fink was absolutely phenomenal. And he proved that again, that first game against LIU. He's picking up right where he left off, calling game in overtime. I noticed it right off the jump. LIU was an extremely defensive team. And I'll highlight Gavin, what they did to Gavin McKenna specifically. Whenever Gavin McKenna had the puck and he skated into their offensive zone, there were two LIU Sharks immediately on him. And what Gavin McKenna has been really good at doing that I've seen is, especially when he's in one-on-one situations, his skating ability and his ability to create space when he skates is second to none. When LIU is playing defense. Oh, yeah.
He got the Calvin Johnson treatment.
Pretty much, yeah. When he got that Calvin Johnson treatment and he was trying to create space, that defense was so tight. It's like playing man-to-man press coverage. They did not let him or any of the other Nittany Lions on the ice have any space to skate. That was different on night two. Penn State was able to find a way to skate around them and make plays, and they were dominant. Couple that with a goaltender change. Penn State, especially in the series against Clarkson and the series against LIU, split the time of the two goaltenders. Kevin Riedler, the Ottawa Senators prospect from Sweden, was the goaltender on night one. Night two, it was Fleming from the QMJHL. His team is evading me right now, but Josh Fleming was absolutely unbelievable.
He's been incredible.
Yes, he was unbelievable on night two. He made some unbelievable saves. And then you couple that with, I think Penn State has slowly improved on defense. They're in a very similar situation to where they were last year, where to start the year, they were not playing very well defensively. And granted, I think they've been better to start the year defensively than where they were starting the year defensively last year. And that helps with getting a guy like Jackson Smith, who was the 14th overall pick, I believe, to the Columbus Blue Jackets. His skating ability is incredible too, especially on the breakout. And that's another thing, being able to break the puck out of the zone and Penn State's passing. Well, I think in a sense, it's been a little too flashy where it's kind of led to some costly turnovers. The passing ability, especially like I said earlier, between Charlie Serrato, Matt DeMarsico, and JJ Weebush is absolutely unbelievable. And that is what Penn State or has made Penn State so strong throughout these first few series of the season. And I think it's really going to carry over into the rest of the season, especially into Big Ten play. So what I'm interested in seeing is, will they ride with one goaltender, or will they still, when they enter Big Ten play, kind of see how those goaltenders react to in-conference big dog competition, or will they ride with one guy?
Riedler's only played, you know, double the minutes of Fleming, allowed 14 goals compared to Fleming's two. So that just shows how good Fleming's played early on in this year.
For sure, definitely. And I think a fault of Riedler is his five holes open a lot. A lot of the goals he's allowed have been between the legs. And obviously, there's been some defensive breakdowns too. But if Riedler can clean up the five hole and make those saves that, you know, and there's plenty of them that he would love to have back. You know, obviously, he's not going to get them back. But if he can make those saves and clean up his fundamentals, I think he'll be just fine. And he's going to be able to show why he's an Ottawa Senators prospect. And he might be the guy. But where we stand right now, I think, honestly, Fleming might be the guy. See how he reacts to Big Ten teams and go from there.
Another thing I liked you mentioned is the scrappiness of Penn State, because the fun stat that if you were to just look at by itself, 9 goals on 32 power plays for us compared to 2 on 31 for opponents. Are you kidding?
Exactly. When you have the players and the depth that you have, how could you not be good on power play? You can throw out the DeMarsico, Weebush, Serrato.
What are they going to do?
You can throw out Aiden Fink, McKenna, Serrato. You can throw out Aiden Fink, McKenna, DeMarsico. There's so many ways you can go. And when you have a D pairing like Matt Godowski you can throw Makadowski with any of them. But when you have a D pairing like Jared Crespo and Jackson Smith and you throw that on your power play line, it's unbelievable. There's so many different directions that Penn State can go on that power play, and it's paying dividends. As you said, they're one of the best power play teams in the country. And on the flip side, they're one of the most penalized teams in the country, really in part to their feistiness. And I think it's a lot of them being undisciplined. If they can clean up the disciplinary stuff, they can be unstoppable, or as close to unstoppable as you can get in college hockey.
Absolutely. I mean, we got the offensive firepower because the crazy thing is the defense has not been that fascinating by any means. I mean, 2.83 goals per game. It's okay. I mean, it'll get the job done. The crazy thing is 4.5 goals a game on offense. That just shows that, you know, the best defense is more offense.
Right, exactly. And I'm repeating myself this whole episode, but it's the talent, man. It's the talent. Little shout out to Com Radio, but I made an article for Com Radio highlighting, you know, early season Hobie Baker candidates. Three of the five guys on my list were from Penn State. You had McKenna at 3, Fink at 2, Serrato at 1. I honestly think at this point in the season, you have 5 Hobie Baker candidates on that team. Weebush had an incredible game against Clarkson where they lost. He dropped 4 goals in that game, and he had another one on night 2. DeMarcico's coming off a weekend where he had a hat trick in game 1, and I think he had another goal in game 2. Serrato at 1, you could say Weebush, DeMarcico. Then you could probably, go Fink. And then I think purely based off of potential and how he's played, even though unlike Serrato and unlike Weebush and DeMarcico, he's not really lighting it up on the stat sheet, but Gavin McKenna's potential obviously is unbelievable, and he's played well. His assists are great. He's only had that one goal, but I wouldn't be surprised if he nets one, if not more, against Stonehill this weekend.
Weebush is shooting 28%. Can we talk about that for a second? 7 goals on 25 shots.
Unbelievable. Huh? Unbelievable. And a lot of these goals too, like obviously, yeah, they're the pretty snipes from the blue line. They're the bar down shots. But one of the goals that JJ had was just a net front scramble. Like when you're going to be a guy like Weebush or Serrato and you're going to have as many goals or in as many points, it's going to be those scrappy goals in front of the net that really don't make those SC top 10 plays. And yeah, they've earned the name of what assistant coach Andrew Sturtz calls them, the behind the back boys, where they're throwing these crazy behind the back passes, getting in space and just ripping shots on net that are going in. But a lot of these goals you're seeing are these scrappy down low goals in front of the net, these net front scrambles where the goaltender loses it, and guys like Weebush and Serrato and DeMarcico are able to bury it. And that's what makes Penn State so good, is you're able to make these highlight plays, but you're also able to make these fundamental plays, which make you lethal on offense.
As we approach this in-conference play, what teams do you think are going to be the biggest threat to Penn State? Do you think it's going to be Michigan State, like a lot of people think, or is it Michigan, or where do you think we stand on this?
I think two of the threats come out of the Great Lakes state of Michigan. You have Michigan State, who is coming off of a huge series where I believe they swept Boston University, who going into that was the number 2 team in the country. Now Michigan State's number 1. Behind them is Western Michigan, and at number 3 is the University of
Michigan. It's ridiculous. I don't know if it's bias or not, but it's crazy that it's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, you have Michigan State, who, despite losing Hobie Baker winner Isaac Howard, has not slowed down one bit. Western Michigan won the national championship last year. Huge upset loss to Ferris State. But other than that, they beat the U.S. National Team Development Program's U18 team 7-0. And obviously, when you're beating a bunch of kids who are 18 and under, you should beat them 7-0, especially when you're coming off of a national championship win. And then they beat UMass. They swept UMass Lowell. And then you have the University of Michigan, who is undefeated. Granted, they've played the likes of Mercyhurst. They played Robert Morris, but a series where they really played well was against then number 7 ranked Providence. You have guys like William Horkov, who are absolutely lighting it up. Their goaltender, his name is eluding me right now, but he's one of the best goaltenders in the country. And then you have guys like TJ Hughes, who I believe leads the team in assists with 9. There are so many superstars on that Michigan team that are making plays. So I think really in the conference, the University of Michigan is the biggest threat right now to Penn State. But don't sleep on a team like Minnesota, who LJ Mooney, the young phenom, is lighting it up. The Montreal Canadiens prospect. But out of all the teams in the Big Ten Conference, I think just purely off of the star power and the way that star power has been able to perform and distribute the puck offensively and play defensively, I think Michigan is the team to beat. And quite frankly, even though 2 of their sweeps are against lower caliber opponents, I think Michigan will sweep Western Michigan this weekend, and I think they earned that number one spot this weekend.
I would like to say that Penn State did get a first place vote. Just so people are aware, Penn State did get a first place vote.
That is a damn good first place vote and a well-earned first place vote, and one that I believe they firmly deserve. But, you know, who are we to judge?
I have to say, it's fascinating. Hockey's the only sport in the NCAA where you can have Western Michigan, Quinnipiac, Denver, North Dakota, and Maine in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. As I said earlier with the point about Clarkson, it's these schools that nobody's ever heard of, man. Like,
how does Minnesota have a branch campus in the top 20?
Who knows, man? Who knows? It's college hockey. And that's what makes college hockey so beautiful. Like Minnesota Duluth has one of the best women's college hockey teams in the country. If they didn't have a hockey team, I don't think anybody would know Minnesota Duluth would even exist.
But when you look at the Big Ten in the rankings, you know, MSU at 1, Michigan at 3, us at 5. Then you drop a little bit. You get Minnesota at 12. You get Ohio State at 14. You get Wisconsin at 17. That's a lot of competition. That's basically every single school except for, like, what, Notre Dame?
Yeah, Notre Dame's unranked. They're coming off of a rough year last year. Their former head coach just retired. And I think you can make an argument for the Big Ten being the best conference in college hockey. It's in contention with Hockey East, and it's especially with the way Penn State handled ASU, I would say it's better than the NCDC, quite frankly.
It's terrifying. I mean, Penn State, probably one of the hardest schedules in all of college hockey this year. Do you think that the team can, like, really break through and maybe do better than last year?
Oh, 100%. And I feel like because of the way they played late in the season last year, let's not forget, this is a team last year that was 0-9 in conference play.
Oh, they started off horrific.
Oh, yeah, it was horrific. Exactly. But I think where the shift really started was that Frozen Confines game against Notre Dame. Yes, they lost, but you saw a team that was much more complete. Heading into last season, the team was incredibly young, and they really did not know how to play together and how to gel. When you watch them against Notre Dame, that Frozen Confines game, passes were landing and goals were being scored, and the defense was playing a lot stronger. And that carried over into the rest of the season, and a huge reason why they made it to the Allentown Regional in the Frozen Four tournament, absolutely demolished a Maine Black Bears team, for whatever reason was the number one seed in that tournament, but they played really well. And then that UConn game, I have to say, was probably, if not the craziest and the wildest sporting event I have ever had the pleasure of attending and being a part of. Oh my gosh, I wanted to throw up at least 10 points throughout that game. It was absolutely insane. And then you play not as well against Boston, and you have to show up against a team like Boston. They really didn't, and that's what caused them to lose. And I think that's part of the reason why they got the schedule they did. There's a lot of hype around this Penn State team, and you're not going to give them a cookie cutter schedule that's going to, you know, basically give them a free ride into the tournament. You're going to want them to earn their way into the NCAA tournament and let them get those statement wins over programs like Michigan State. Obviously, they're conference opponents, but that just proves how loaded the Big Ten is. And then you have a team like Clarkson, who gives them a run for their money on night one, but they respond and they win on night two. So this schedule is well earned, and they should be excited to have a schedule like this. And just being around the guys and talking to the guys, they're so excited. They cannot wait to win the national championship. It's almost as if they've already won it, which is crazy. Yeah. And that's something I'd urge them to do, is don't think that you've already won the national championship because you haven't. Because if you think if you've already won it, you've become complacent. And complacency is what kills you, not only in sports, but in life. So I would say don't get complacent. You know, obviously, you know that you're a team that could win the national championship, and you have a much better shot than a lot of college hockey dynasties, but don't
let it get to your head.
Exactly. Don't let it get to your head. Be glad that you have the schedule that you do and show up and perform. And I think this Nittany Lions team can and will do just that, as they already have.
I mean, so far, you know, in addition to the 5-1 record, they are showing up when it matters. 12-4 goal ratio in the third period, and that is what matters. This team has the talent. They have the motivation. They have the, you know, incredible strength under pressure to be able to make this long run.
Right. It's like Penn State football in 2016 when they were, you know, in second
now.
Half late.
It's not well, right
not now. But Penn State in 2016, where they were a late game second half team, they score goals late and they extend leads. And it's really hard to play against a team like Penn State that has so much depth late in games. And it's proven.
Cheers to the future of the Nittany Lions season. That's going to do it here. Episode 57 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Max, any final words?
Watch this Penn State hockey team. I guarantee you this will not be the last year that these Nittany Lions will be in contention. Yes, after this year, we're going to lose Gavin McKenna because he has no reason to play another year of college hockey because he's going to be the number one overall pick. But I guarantee you a guy like Jackson Smith, despite being a first round pick, will be here for 2 to 3 years. You're going to be able to watch Lev Katzen be scrappy for 4 years at Penn State. Charlie Serrano could come back and all these other guys too. And even the guys that don't, if they go and get professional contracts, that just proves that Penn State is now a hockey school. You could chalk it up there with football, with wrestling, and with women's volleyball. And I think that will attract, and it already has attracted other big name recruits. And especially with the NIL money we have flowing in from sports like football, Penn State, I think, can become a dynasty in college hockey. And watch the women's hockey team too. They've won the AHA the past 3 years, and they've made it to the NCAA tournament the past 3 years. Tessa Janicki is an absolute machine, and they're going to dominate Lindenwood this weekend. I believe both of those games are on Big Ten Plus. So tune into Big Ten Plus. Listen to our comm radio broadcasters because they do a fantastic job, and watch the women's team along with the men's team continue their dominance this season.
God bless the Nittany Lions and God bless Comm Radio. That's going to do it here. Episode 56 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in and have a great rest of your day.